program that specializes in amateur radio in the valley and around the world. Whether you're already a ham or have always wanted to be one, you'll find out about interesting events and issues regarding amateur radio. Your host is Lynn Winkler, KB7LPW. To get in touch with Lynn, call 241-1510 or 1-800-293-5366. That's 1-800-293-KFNN. Ham Radio and More is brought to you by AEA Incorporated, Wallpaper World, and Ken Nichols. Now, here's the host of Ham Radio and More, Lynn Winkler.
CQ, 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 Arizona. And welcome to Ham Radio and More, the only show of its kind in America. I'm your host, Len Winkler, KB7LPW, and today's show is sponsored by AEA Incorporated, Ken Nichols of Linda Brock Auto Mall, and Wallpaper World. Isn't it refreshing to have some sunshine instead of rain for the last couple of days? Our phone number here is 241-1510, 241-1510, or 1-800-293-KFNN, where we'll gladly pay for your call if you're out of into DX land. My guest today is Dave Kelly, WA7GPF. He's the current president and founder of the Triart Club, and we'll get to Dave in a few minutes. But first, as usual, some QSTs. And we never did get a winner last week on the question of which state in the union leads the rest of the nation in the percentage of growth over the last six years. And we'll still take the winning answer. However, because so many of you looked it up, and I know I've talked to some people during the week, and they knew the answer, I need the number one state, but I also want to know the second state. So give me the first state and the second state, and you'll win a Sundrop T-shirt and a cap. A Sundrop T-shirt and their cap, so kind of neat. And our number again, 241-1510 or 1-800-293-KFNN. And I need the states that are number one and two in the fastest growth in amateur radio, number of amateur radios, operators. Tomorrow night, Ham Radio and More's resident tech, Nick Seuss, W7ZMD, will be the featured speaker at the West Valley Amateur Radio Club meeting. That starts at 7:15 p.m. at the St. Clement Social Hall, 15800 Del Webb Boulevard in Sun City. And all of you in the West Valley, go to the club meeting and say hi to Nick. Nick will discuss maintenance of station equipment and much more, I'm sure. Wednesday night, April 9th, we again have both the Arizona Amateur Radio Club and TriArc having their monthly meetings. The Arizona Amateur Radio Club meets at 7 p.m. at the Red Cross Building, 1510 East Flower in Phoenix, around 16th Street in Osborne. TriArc's meeting starts also at 7:30, and with details will be forthcoming from their president, who's here, Dave Kelly. While I'm talking about club meetings, I went to two of them this past week. The Scottsdale Club had a Drug Enforcement Administration there as the program. Chuck Hobbs, who's the senior special agent for them, told us all about the Department of Drug Administration, how they are, how big a case he once had, and I'll tell you, it was interesting. He brought a large case showing all types of drugs and utensils. The presentation was so good, in fact, that the senior center, which closes at 10 o'clock and throws us out, they had to throw us out because the questions were lasting too long. At the Central Arizona Amateur DX, Central Arizona DX Association meeting, which took place on Thursday, Lee Finkel and others gave 15-minute mini presentations. They were all informative and exciting. And then there was a video of Laurel and Hardy putting up an antenna, and it was absolutely hilarious. I'll tell you, they kept falling. It was, you know, there's slapstick stuff, but it was pretty good. So there was problems putting up antennas, guys, way back there because it was funny. They did a nice bit on it. They should pass that video along. In fact, I think I might need to get a copy of that. We can have it at some of the other clubs. Really, really was good. If you get the chance, go to a club meeting. Make sure you mark down the date of April 23rd. That's the date for the ARA 25th anniversary meeting and celebration. The Arizona A Repeater Association has been around for 25 years, and their celebration will be April 23rd at that meeting. They're going to have many of the founders there of the organization. Coffee and cake will be served. Now, see, now that's the reason to go anyway. I mean, no matter what, right, Dave? See, coffee and cake. And Lou Grubb is expected to attend, as well as Major General Owens. Ham radioactivity really is getting hot and heavy. And another major announcement about this show, Ham Radio and More, starts next week at 12 noon. Yes, I know you listen at 1 o'clock, but we're going to start an hour earlier at 12 noon. Get your pencil, write that down. 12 o'clock noon, and we'll be on for 2 full hours beginning next week, from 12 till 2. So there'll be more time for guests, more telephone calls, more time to buy and sell ham gear. So what I'd really like to concentrate on is a lot of buying and selling of radio gear. If you guys want anything to buy or sell or trade or whatever, to call in the second hour from 1 to 2. And let's make that a swap meet for an hour. We'll go as quick as we can through it, as many calls as we can. Hopefully you guys will want to call in and have something you want to buy, sell, or trade. And we'll be happy to take that. Remember, from noon till 2, starting next Sunday. Tell a friend, or tell an enemy, I don't care. I'd sure appreciate if you mention it when you're talking on the radio waves to your friends and all the nets. Please mention it so they all know. From noon till 2 o'clock, that extra hour will help us do some neat things. In fact, some of the fantastic guests that we're going to have in the upcoming shows will be, next week we'll have a heavy debate again with Nick Seuss, W7ZMD, and John Moore, NJ7E, as they debate all the topics in amateur radio. The following weeks we'll have Todd Lefkowitz will join us. Then we'll have Lee Finkel here to discuss contesting, strategies to win contests, and how to get the return of those precious QSL cards from countries that we have problems getting QSL cards from. Followed by the folks at Carl Hayden High School's Amateur Radio Club. Then we'll have a show with VEs, three of this community's best-known volunteer examiners, and they'll talk all about ham radio licensing and testing. Then we'll have Ed Blasek, N7EB, who's the QSL manager for Father Moran. That should be very, very interesting. Then we'll hopefully have a show about the DX packet cluster, a packet system that's absolutely unbelievable, followed by a show on packet bulletin boards we're trying to put together, and then a show about the upcoming field day in June. So please don't miss a show. And if you have any other suggestions, drop me a line at Ham Radio and More in care of KFNN Radio, 4800 North Central, Phoenix, 85012. And I'll be happy to send you a KFNN KB7 LPW QSL card. If you don't already have one, I'll be happy to send one back to you. And if you do want a copy of any of our previous Ham Radio and More shows, send me a tape or just drop a tape off here and tell me which show you want, and I'll be happy to tape one for you, because I certainly have all the copies. You know, we've almost been on a year now. And I appreciate the West Valley, Ray Sumner from West Valley Amateur Radio Club, for putting that little anecdote into their publication saying that we're almost a year old. I appreciate that, and we are. It's pretty good. Let's see, two more things real quickly. Tudhill Ham Fest takes place July 24th, 25th, and 26th in Flagstaff. And the Cochise Amateur Radio Association Spring Fest takes place in Sierra Vista May 2nd and 3rd. You can call Rick at 459-1039 for more information. And we still don't have a correct answer to last week's trivia question. What state has seen the fastest growth percentage-wise in ham since 1985? So we're still looking for that answer. And, you know, I don't know why you guys can't call in and get the right answer. Okay, we'll be with Dave in a moment. First, I want to take a moment to read you a letter or two about Ken Nichols, WA7HXZ, the fleet manager for Linda Brock Auto Mall in Scottsdale. I've talked about Ken for almost a year now, but these letters from real people, I like that, or from real customers say all I've been saying and more. In fact, here goes. Dear Linda Brock, I'm writing in regards to your fleet manager, Ken Nichols. I'm a single parent who had to purchase a new car by myself for the first time. The whole process of purchasing a new car was making me feel very stressed out. Fortunately, though, I was referred to Mr. Nichols. Mr. Nichols was extremely helpful and professional in helping me find a new car that was reliable and within my budget. The whole experience was easy, pleasant, and educational. Thanks to Mr. Nichols' efforts, I would highly recommend Mr. Nichols to anyone else who needs to purchase a car. You are indeed fortunate to have such a competent professional on your staff. Signed, I don't want to give the person's name, but it's a legitimate person. Then another one, dear Ms. Brock, on February 26, 1992, we purchased a new Dodge Stealth from your dealership. The package and color we desired was not available anywhere at the time we first met with Ken Nichols. However, Ken was outstanding in his efforts to locate the exact vehicle that we wanted. He conducted a major search throughout the West, and because of his perseverance, actually found the car we wanted in Houston, Texas. Ken kept us apprised of all the developments in his search, and we greatly appreciated both his professionalism and his cordial manner. We're delighted with our new car and with the excellent service we've received from Ken Nichols and Linda Brock Dodge. Those are just two of many, and I do have many, right, Dave? Many letters, seriously, that have been sent to Ken Nichols. And if you're thinking of buying a vehicle, a new car, call Ken Nichols, 228-2336. That's 228-2336. No joke, that's the person to call. He gives fleet prices direct to you. 228-2336, Ken Nichols. Well, we have Dave Kelly here, WA7 GPF. And he's an extra class ham. He was licensed way back in 1966. Hey, I wasn't even, I was just born, I think, back then. And, in fact, what day are you born on?
November 1st.
Oh, that's a terrible day. November 1st. Did you hear that, Mom? November 1st he was born. What time were you born?
I think it was 14 minutes after midnight.
Oh, God, you are older than me. Actually, we were both born, I think, almost in the same year. In fact, we were born in the same year on the same day. How's that for coincidental?
Within a half hour, yeah.
That's pretty coincidental.
I was first, though, so you have to respect me.
Yeah, well, you do look older. he's worked with computers since 1975, and he's also the current president and, I believe, founder of TriArc. Is that right?
That's right.
What is TriArc?
Actually, I've had a lot of help in founding TriArc. How it all started back on, it was on 10 meters back last fall. There were a couple of guys talking, and a few of us locals heard them, and they were talking about ham clubs. As a matter of fact, it was a couple of guys who had just moved into the area wondering, you know, what they should join. Well, it seemed like all the ham clubs were so far away. We're in the Tempe Mesa area, and you've got fine clubs, but they're all in different directions, quite a ways off. So we started thinking about starting our own. Well, we had a few breakfasts, and the breakfast kept growing, and more people got interested. And finally, we had our first meeting, and that was in November. And we had 20 people show up, and it was we had it in a room that was pretty sparse, and it had rock polishing equipment in it and some really weird stuff. And we determined what we needed for paperwork and whether we wanted to be affiliated with ARRL, and we made the right choice. We are. But it's grown. Today there's 60 members, and we have quite a group of people that show up, and we have a lot of fun.
So you already have 60 members.
Mm-hmm. 60 members, and of course this is the hobby to get the word out. You know, of course your show has probably brought 59 of them at least.
Oh sure. Well, hopefully at least one or two.
Yeah.
But, I remember when you were starting and you told me that you're going to start a new club, and I said, what do we need another new club for? And I don't want to mention any names, but you told me why you started a new club why you wanted to start a new club, and I don't want to get any particular clubs upset, but I do think that it's something that you should explain as to why you started the club. And you kind of told me that you went to a few meetings, and what kind of reactions did you get from other clubs? And we're not mentioning any specific one.
No, that's true. My wife was interested in getting her license, so we went to a club that was basically it belonged to a large company, and it was their company club, and we basically sat there through the entire night and didn't have anyone say anything to us. They had a nice presentation, but not even a hello. And it's like, wow, this is not good for new hams. That was quite a while ago, and from what I understand, they're under new management now, and they're doing really well too. But that was not right. And we made some decisions. We thought, we just don't want another club. We want something that's different, something that's more in tune with the new folks coming in. I hate calling them no-coders, but that's what it's called. We've got a lot of new people coming in, and I don't think the older style clubs are ready for them yet.
Okay. So would you say then that TriArc is catering more to the new ham than the ham that's been, you know, that's been a ham for 10 years, 20 years?
No, we've got a lot of those out there too. Of the 60 members, I don't think you could get much more diverse than that. I think probably the oldest is in their 80s and the youngest is 14, and we're working on getting a younger one than that. So it's quite diverse. We didn't want to specialize.
Excuse me, you do have a younger one than that.
All right. Which?
At least a button was supposed to be made for a younger one than that.
Did you sign up your daughter?
Yes.
Ah, okay. All right. So how young is the youngest? Or is that our trivia question?
No, that's 10. 10 years old. But
okay.
We still don't have an answer to the trivia. You know, I've talked to at least two or three people during the week at the Scottsdale Club and at the DX Club meetings. They all had the answer to the trivia question that I asked last week. They said they called many times, guessed a lot of times last week, and it's true because Kevin was the engineer last week and the phone was ringing off the hook. We haven't had anybody guessing correctly today at all, and I don't know why. I think they're, is it too pretty out? They're not near a phone. They're all listening on their car radios or at the picnic or something. 241-1510, 241-1510, or 1-800-293-KFNN. We need an answer to, since no one has called, and I thought we'd get an answer right at 1 o'clock, which is why I made it tougher, but just tell me the number one state, 241-1510, what state has the fastest percentage growth of ham radio operators? Okay, what are some of the achievements that TriArc has gotten in the time that it's been, you know, What have you done? I know you're doing all kinds of interesting things, and we'll get into the repeater deal because I think that's an interesting story. But what are some of the other things that you guys have done since you started? I mean, where do you have your meetings and things? I know you just didn't start and decide to have it and have it in the garage.
Well, that was the first option we had, and then we asked around a little. I've got a few contacts, so I kind of used all of them I could to find us a good place. We ended up in the police auditorium at Tempe, and this is not a bad place. It's like a true auditorium with a big screen TV and a podium and the whole works. It's very comfortable. Everybody has a desk in front of them so they can be looking at books or whatever. A very, very nice place, and of course secure, although we're just down the hall from the jail. so nobody gets as rowdy as they normally would. What's interesting is when we went in and asked for that location so we could have our meetings, I talked to the chief of police, and he basically said, sure, as a matter of fact, we'd like you to be the first civilian organization to be affiliated with the police department. I'm going, whoa.
And this was the chief of the police department, or?
Actually, he let me talk to the assistant chief,
okay.
But we call him chief, too. Because he tells us to.
No,
they're all very.
While he has his .357 pointed at your head.
Right, yeah. Right. It was interesting though. Now, so we're affiliated with Tempe, and they kind of did that because they're trying to get citizens involved in the city, and we were the first ones to ask, and they said, hey, you have to be affiliated to use the auditorium, so you're it. So that was interesting. First shot. Everything we've asked for so far, we've gotten more than we wanted. Although we've taken it all.
Yes, you've even stooped to such depths that you've had a transmitter hunt with a mounted police officer from Tempe hiding it on his person, or on the horse, I should say, while he was meandering around the streets of Tempe.
Well, the way you put that, we know who didn't win.
Yes, there were 8 teams that didn't win.
Oh, okay.
Only one team won.
No second place, huh?
Well, I don't know. I didn't see the published reports. But, yes, that's pretty good, though, the Tempe Police Department. So what else does does the city of Tempe have that you've been able to get from them? Let's tell the repeater story.
Well, first of all, it's interesting that the tea hunt thing is what led to the story that we're about to tell. Because I went in and said, hey, we'd like to demonstrate to the police department how well hams can locate transmitters, like people who are transmitting illegally on the 150 megahertz band, at least, for some of the other police departments around. And it turns out Tempe had this problem about 6 years ago. They had a jammer repeating taxi cabs and things on them, and it took the FBI to find the guy. So they were excited about it, so they allowed us to use the horse. But they said, while you're here, we have something called an EOC, Emergency Operations Center. And when we built this in 1988, we ordered an ICOM 735 HF rig, which is a nice $1,200 radio, and a VHF radio, and a UHF radio, and antennas, and all kinds of stuff. And it's all been sitting in a closet, basically waiting for some ham group to say they wanted to take it over and operate it for us. So I'm sitting here going, okay, I think we can handle this.
It just shows if you just ask.
Yeah. I didn't stop there. It'd be nice. We've got a couple of buttes in Tempe. It'd be neat to have a repeater on one of them. And they says, absolutely, no question about it. We have plenty of repeaters left over from when we were on 150 megahertz, because they've moved to the 800 megahertz band. So he says, okay, that'd be great. We can put it on the T butte there and the freeway and Broadway. And they said, okay, fine. I said, now it'd be nice if there was some way to contact the dispatch area. And they said, no question, we'll have an auto patch on there. I felt like going, excuse me, can I be excused to go buy a lottery ticket, please? It was amazing.
What frequency is your repeater on?
Well, it's not up yet.
Oh. Why didn't you get them into action?
It's getting a pair of frequencies is the tough part. We've got a set of crystals coming, and we're going to test with them, but we think they'll be okay because the only other repeater's in Flagstaff, so it should be all right. It'll be toned and stuff. And as soon as it's online, I'll call you so you can tell everybody, because everybody, of course, listens.
Well, I'll tell you, Forrest, my engineer today, has been picking up the phone again and again and again and again, and not one of the answers is correct. Now I see three of the five lines ringing, and still no one has had the right answer. Now, I don't know if it's the same person's calling or what, but no one's coming up with the right answer, and he's on the phone constantly. Did you get one yet? No. Still no. So, okay. Anyway, it's funny. It must be a great state, I'll tell you. I'll tell you the number two state in the union that has the second fastest growth. Take a guess, Dave. What's the second fastest? Oh, you might have heard me say.
No, I don't know.
Oh, you didn't? Okay. The second fastest growing state in the United States was Hawaii, with a 32% increase in ham radio operators. 32%. They went from 1,900 to 2,778 from 1985 to 1991. So that's kind of interesting. Okay, so you're going to have a repeater up. That's great. You're going to have an auto patch on it?
Oh, yeah. What we're going to try and do, too, is work real closely with the Mesa has an EOC, which basically is equipped the same way, and they've done a really good job training quite a few people on how to use it and how to operate during emergency situations. We're going to try and put an umbrella over this and have it so the Tempe Mesa area are covered. By the way, we never did talk about what TriArc stood for. It's a Tri-City Amateur Radio Club, and the funny part is it means Mesa, Tempe, Chandler, Gilbert. Quad City just didn't sound right, so anywhere in that area is fine.
Well, Tempe isn't far from, well, a lot of little places now. Actually,
yeah.
Even Phoenix, Ahwatukee area.
Yeah. But anyway, it's in the middle. So.
Okay. So, Forrest, you've gotten they're all wrong? What are they guessing?
There's only 50
states. What does O stand for? Wait a minute, Forrest, you can pick up. Let me hear. What have they been guessing?
All around it.
All around it? Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll give you a hint. It's west of the Atlantic Ocean. Okay. That should narrow it down a little. Okay. So, Actually, I've gone, what are some of the functions that you had instead of, I've gone to one of your breakfasts, and the food was good. Mm-hmm. You didn't cook, that's probably.
It's obvious, yeah.
But let's tell us about some of the functions you guys have.
Okay, well, like most clubs, we've got a breakfast the last Saturday of the month at Shoney's, and that's just south of the freeway on Gilbert, I believe. And that's at 7:30, and that's a lot of fun. We can't be any different there. Hams eat and they talk, and that's it. That's what we do.
At Shoney's restaurant?
Yeah.
Okay.
We got so rowdy and such a big crowd, they even opened up a special room for us now.
I know. It's a little early, 7:30. That's the only thing. You know, and if you don't live in the Tempe area and you come from Phoenix, you know, at 7:30, you got to leave the house at 6:45.
We've got two hams that are retired, and they show up at 7:30 and complain all day. You know, until 8, until everybody else shows up. So I say 7:30, but I'll probably be there at 8.
Oh, so in other words, and when does it end? So somebody who wants to even sleep later.
Oh, it's about 9. I think there's another group that comes in at 9. So
okay.
That's okay. It's a lot of fun.
The food was good. That I remember. They have a buffet there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's good stuff.
And it wasn't that expensive.
Yeah, that's why hams come to it, yeah.
What are you saying?
Hey, truth hurts, doesn't it? I can say that I am one. Let's see. Our meetings are different than other clubs' meetings, too. We do it a little differently. We have about a 45-minute presentation. We have about a 3-second business meeting.
Hey, I like that already.
Yeah, politics are not allowed. That's somewhere in the rules. And then we have what we call rap sessions. That's radio amateurs at play. And we have different areas that we break out into, and there's tea hunters and home brewing and packet and DX and emergency preparedness, and some people just like to rag chew. And for you new folks, that just means talking. It's not really chewing on a rag or anything. It gets pretty interesting. I think everybody likes it. We've had the last meeting, we had a tour of the Tempe Communication Center, which is just upstairs, so it's easy. We're just having a ball. Our nets, by the way, for you who are on the air, that meets on 145.33. That's a repeater over on the east side of town. And it's at on Thursday nights at 8 o'clock. And our nets are different, too. We have everybody check in very quickly, and we have a few QSTs. And then we open it up to see if there's a particular topic or set of topics that everybody wants to comment on. And out of that has come, we're going to produce a new manual for new hams, because we got to talking about how people don't know the procedures who are just getting into it, and the best way is to give them something that's short and sweet that explains it to the end user the easiest way or fastest. There comes my computer ease there, end user, sorry.
That's all right. Okay. We'll get back to you in a minute. I think we have a winner on line one. Doug, welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Hi.
How you doing?
Fine.
Okay, so you guessed how many times?
About
15. No, we had a lot of... Now, you weren't the only caller, because we had a ton of callers. Forrest is shaking his head. I mean, all of the lines were lit up at one time with all different answers. What is the state that had the largest percentage of growth in ham radio operators?
Utah,
that's correct. Utah actually increased from 2,565 in 1985 to 4,323 in 1991. That's a 41% growth. So that's pretty good. Total United States, according to this report as of March 1st from the W5YI report, they said there were 543,117 hams, which is a 23% increase over 1985. The startling thing, of course, is a large percentage of that, and I don't have it broken down, has increased since the no-code license took effect. Also, Puerto Rico has had 51% growth, but the volunteer exam system has been shut off there because of dishonesty. It's really too bad, but anyway. Okay, you're going to win a Sundrop T-shirt as well as... a Sundrop cap, and they will contact you. Sundrop, go for the glow. They were there at the Ham Fest. They're a fun organization, and everything good that's happening in Arizona happens with the Sundrop. And thanks for calling in, Doug.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, we're going to go right now to Nick Seuss, W7ZMD, and he's going to do his product review this week, Nick's Corner. And this week he's going to talk about one of my favorite radios, hope he has a good report for it, is the ICOM 24AT Dual Bander. So, Nick, take it away.
Thank you, Len. This is Nick Seuss from Nick's Corner. This week's segment is going to be about the ICOM 24AT, one of the currently popular 2-meter FM handheld radios. We appreciate the loan of this item by the local ham radio outlet, courtesy of Gary Judd et al. The ICOM 24AT is a dual band radio which has been one of the more popular dual banders since its introduction. In the VHF spectrum, the unit transmits on 2 meters or 144 megahertz. In the UHF spectrum, the unit transmits on 440 megahertz or the 70 centimeter ham band. Specified receiver range is 138 to 174 megahertz and 440 to 450 megahertz. However, it is common knowledge that the extended receive range is well below 100 megs to over 1 gigahertz with some holes where it doesn't perform at all. This extended receive range has many people very excited that they can actually experience receiving some signals in the spectrum. This unit is much more susceptible to intermod than others. Because the receiver front end is capable of responding to signals over this wide range, it is also much more prone to responding to other signals even when receiving in the amateur bands where it is primarily intended to be used. In other words, this wide receiver capability makes it neat for the short wave listener, but makes it less effective for the purpose of its original intention, which is amateur radio. The choice, as always, resides with the purchaser as to what he wants from his radio. This unit operates on FM only. This is the most popular mode for talking on the amateur frequencies and probably the most practical coverage for a handy talkie. I think I said that. The ICOM 24AT is a compact, high-performance, dual-band unit, period. Features of the unit as purchased include DTMF, commonly called the touch tone pad, memory for DTMF encoder or auto dialer, crossband full duplex, and 40 memory channels for storing frequencies, priority channels, scanning functions, and others, which go on. Installable options, which can be purchased, will expand the feature list to include the ICOM option UT51, adds subaudible tone and code. UT50 adds subaudible tone encode and CTSS, or simply subaudible tone decode. Editorial. Many 440 MHz repeaters require subaudible tone encode for access. Subaudible tone decode is not mandatory, but can make receiving more pleasant. The primary use of these subaudible tones is to prevent intermod from causing distracting reception. External options for more convenient operation include an external speaker mic and a flexible antenna. Power output of this unit can be selected from 1/2 watts, from 1/2 watts to, I think it's 5 watts. The special feature of this unit is cross-band operation. This unique feature allows you to transmit on one band and simultaneously receive on the other. It's just like the telephone. You can talk and listen at the same time. The display is liquid crystal and includes enough information that you can view the status of all the important factors very easily. It shows both frequencies, the primary one being in the larger size. Programming, setup, and operation. I happen to have the opportunity to evaluate 3 different manufacturers, the 2-meter unit, the dual banders at the same time. The ICOM 24 has an adequate operating manual. Had a little trouble deciphering the information. It took a couple of readings, but finally got the unit programmed and set up as I wanted. Operation. The unit I evaluated included the UT50 options, which made it full-blown. After an awkward startup, I found this unit very easy to use. After a day of referring to the book, when I wanted to do something different, use of the unit become more or less instinctive. Annoyances. I have normal-sized fingers. The size of these miniaturized keypads is a problem. The keypad was better than some I've used, but still darn small. I guess it's fortunate that most of the more commonly used functions are on the edge of the pad. I found the safest way to program these small keypads is to use a pencil with an eraser and use the eraser into the pencil. The speaker in this unit was very poor. Apparently these small speakers are very, very inefficient. The speaker mic is easier to listen to, and use of an external speaker in a fixed location makes it very pleasant to listen to, actually. Overall, once I got comfortable with the operation, I enjoyed the unit quite a lot. That wraps up this week's segment. Again, I would like to ask if there's any product you'd like to hear about, let Len or me know. Thank you. This is Nick's Product Review Corner, presented by Nick Sues, W7ZMD, phone number 992-4133. Amateur radio equipment repair is my business and is located near 40th Street and Bell Road. Again, the phone number, 992-4133. Now back to you, Len.
Okay, thank you, Nick. I said something earlier. TriArc, their meetings are at 7 p.m., not 7:30, and whoever puts together ADAW's front cover should say 7 p.m., not 7:30, because that's where I got my information from. Okay. It's time to talk to you about AEA Incorporated and all their great products, especially, of course, the PK-232 multi-data controller. But I want to again tell you about their Super VSB-70 amateur television transceiver. With the VSB-70, all you need is a camera and a 440 antenna, and you're on the air. Remember, I'm an appliance ham, I guess, and if I can get on amateur television in 10 minutes... anybody can get on amateur television in 10 minutes. With the AEA VSB-70, it's easy and it's great. And the VSB-70 has a built-in down converter. It takes your ATV signal, transfers it to TV channel 3 or 4 for easy viewing. All you do is, this is all you do. Now listen, you take the plug from your camera and plug it into the front of the VSB-70. I mean, there's the spot you plug it in. You push on the power button. Now, anybody can do that. You push the video button and the camera button on. Then you push the transmit button. The transmit button's the secret. And you're on the air. Listen, we here in Phoenix really have a great repeater for ATV. It's located on Shaw Butte. It's fairly easy to hit well from most parts of the valley. And it really, I'm able, of course, I'm near Glendale and Central, so I'm not that far away, but I'm on the other side of the mountain. And it only puts out about a watt PEP, but I hit it, and I was given a P4, which is pretty good. I guess P5 is best you can get. And then my lighting is still a little lacking. But it's really neat. And I'll tell you, they have like 16, 17, 18 people check in on Wednesday Night Net, and they're all video. It's really great. You know, instead of just hearing the voice, you see the person, so you know who not to like. No, I'm just joking. But it's really kind of neat to know, to see who you're talking to. So I really encourage you, get on ATV and buy an AEA VSB-70. And you can call 1-800-432-8873. That's 1-800-432-8873. That's the phone number for AEA. It's a toll-free number. You leave your name and phone number and address and everything. They'll send you a free catalog, and it talks about the VSB-70 as well as all the other products. When you call, please mention Ham Radio and More. The number is 1-800-432-8873. And check out Ham Radio Outlet at 17th Avenue and Camelback. Tell them you want to buy a VSB-70. You'll find out it's not as expensive as you think. It's less than a handy talkie. And to see the complete array of AEA products, Ham Radio Outlet also has that. AEA, where the ham action is at. And they have great products, really. Anybody who uses a PK-232 knows that's great, too. What are some of the future plans of TriArc? You know, talk about, I know you're going to get involved with testing.
Yeah, we're going to start VE sessions. Everybody figures, well, there's enough of them. There's one on the first Saturday and the second Saturday. So we picked the third Saturday of the month. But it's going to be in the Tempe area. Again, we went to the city of Tempe and said, hey, we'd sure like to use the study area of the library to give tests. It is incredibly quiet. We couldn't believe that. And that's one of the things that are lacking in a lot of other locations is the peace and quiet to take the test in. There's also a special room specifically designed for group study, which just happens to be perfect for giving the code tests. So we're going to start this month on the third Saturday, and we've got one other difference. We've been analyzing very carefully the efficiency and organization that's needed to give it properly. We're going to have an automated system. When somebody walks in and says, I want to take a test, we're going to put it all into a computer. It's going to fill out the Form 610 form. It's going to fill out all the proper paperwork. And they take their test, and basically their CSCE will already be ready. It just needs to be signed by the people who grade it. So basically, very quickly, you'll get your CSCE when you pass. So we're looking.
Whose computers are you using?
The city's.
Oh, it is. Okay, so you're going to be using the Tempe. They're allowing you to use their computer system to generate this.
Well, I installed them, so I know where to go grab one and set it up for this.
Okay.
No, we're gonna give it a shot, and if it really works well, we're gonna offer the software to as many people that need it, you know, that want to try it.
Now, this is the third Saturday of every month. You're gonna start doing this on a continuous basis.
Right.
Okay. What time is it again?
It's gonna start at 9:30.
9:30 a.m. And where is it?
The Tempe Public Library is. On Rural Road, just north of the freeway, about a half a mile. Basically rural and southern. And there'll be signs saying where to go. We're going to try and direct people around it so there's no disruption to the library itself. The key is everybody's going to have to be very quiet because it is a study area.
Well, of course, us hams are very quiet. Also,
absolutely.
Also, who's testing are you going to utilize?
To start with, anyway, we're going to use W5YI. That's the ones that we've been using for in the past. We've given some classes and stuff, and we've had some YI sessions, and they seem to work out well. We may switch to ARRL one later on as things go along.
And now that's $5.40. Is that the current charge to take the test?
Yep, that's what it is now.
So you could get a computerized still for only $5.40 from you, huh? Okay, and complete silence. All right, well, what's great about it is that there's just another avenue to take a test. So if you can't make the DeVry test on the first Saturday of the month, you can use TriArc now, the third Saturday of the month. And, of course, the other thing, of course, is that DeVry being in the northwest valley a little bit, and you're in the east valley, that makes it good also.
Well, we're in the east, but actually there's Superstition, which is in the way east valley, so it's covering it pretty well.
The way you said it, the way east valley. Okay, and then I hear you're having some classes starting soon.
Yeah, we've already had some classes. It's one of the accomplishments we've done so far. We set up a class that was 8 weeks long. We had 18 people sign up and 16 people passed on into having a license. We were excited. First of all, we didn't think there'd be that many sign up. And second of all, 16 passes. I want to congratulate every one of those students. They worked very hard.
And I want their names in alphabetical order.
Yeah, right. I was lucky to make it to each of those.
Each one that gets a license, of course, gets a piece of paper that says, listen to Ham Radio and More Sundays at 12 noon. I had to repeat that. Because starting next week, we're on for two full hours. Starting next week, two full hours from noon till 2 p.m. You are listening to Ham Radio and More on KFNN Radio, AM 1510. And we'll take care of, if I find it, the last piece of business that we have. And then we'll got a couple more things that I want to talk about here. A couple of super spring specials are going on now at Wallpaper World. First off, you can receive a full 77% off the suggested retail price on all Bally custom horizontal blinds. Now, Bally is really a well-known name. in the market. This is a super sale because normally Wallpaper World sells the top quality Bally half-inch, three-quarter, and one-inch aluminum slats at 61% off, which is a good price. But right now, it's 77% off. No kidding. And if you buy four or more, they'll still install it absolutely free. This is a Bally-supported sale, which is why Wallpaper World can give this huge discount. Imagine, order a mini blind that's 34 inches wide, let's say, and 47 inches high. You can get it now for only $28.98. Really unbelievable. And remember, that's for the top-of-the-line mini blind. No cheap stuff. I mean, this is the, you can't buy better. Just the best, and now at a price that can't be beat. Also, you can save 50% off the regular list price on all in-stock wallpaper. Anything in stock in their stores are 50% off the regular list prices, any of the wallpaper, including contemporary, traditional, and Southwest designs. And almost all are pre-pasted for easy installation. Dave, you can even do it. And remember, the sale continues on high-end fabrics at below vinyl prices. That's on the special purchase of fabrics from a bankrupt factory for vertical blinds. With the sale, the ad ran for Wallpaper World on Thursday, and I can't tell you how much fabric was sold Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. A lot, from what I was told. So, you know, if you want a vertical blind in a very good fabric, go down to Wallpaper World immediately. They still have a lot left. You can do an average patio door for less than $55. Prices will never be lower. 272-4788, 272-4788 for more information or the location of the Wallpaper World nearest you. They have six to choose from. Wallpaper World really does make selecting decorating products an enjoyable experience. What do you attribute, Dave, the quick growth of Tri-Arc to? Because there's a lot of clubs, there's a lot of clubs out there. They're somewhat stagnant. Now, I do know ARA is getting a few here and there, and their goal is 1,000. I hope they achieve it. And that's really separate from a regular club because they're like an association. But all the other clubs are getting a few here, a few there. But you, from 0 to 60 in a couple months, what do you attribute that growth to?
Well, I think a lot of it is just that we're local. People just, they're tired of going so far to go to a club meeting. I'm hoping that most of it is because we're so active. There's so many things going on all the time. I mean, we've had J-pole parties, soldering classes.
What's a J-pole party?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
No, what is it?
Yeah, J-pole is an antenna, and it's for VHF and UHF. And we found a neat article in 73 magazine, so we thought, well, let's have a party and just build these things. So we go out and buy all this copper tubing and cut it all up and got solder all over ourselves. But we ended up with... I think there was about 10 of them all total built before it was over with.
Super.
And they're great antennas, and everybody loves them, and they ended up costing about $8 a piece.
Wow.
The fun part was just getting together, though. The dues are cheap. I mean, $10. But we like to recruit
And you get
people.
A button.
And you get a button. Well, your button's on the way.
Yeah, sure.
Make his button.
It's in the mail, yeah.
One of the main reasons I got into it was for recruiting. I like to see new people get into it. And, of course, our class shows that that worked. But our motto is for the fun of it. You know, don't keep it too businesslike or too serious. I didn't finish talking about the classes either.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay. We've got new classes starting. We're going to start them on the 5th of next month. We're going to have a little training center that has 7 computers in it, so you can take the test occasionally on the computer to find out how well you're doing. They start at 6:30, and that's at the base of City Hall.
Is this a no-code class, or are you teaching code also?
I don't think we're going to teach code at this one. We'll have all the software available for people who want to take tests at home on their PC. We'll have software that they can obtain from us. It's shareware stuff. To teach code at this one. We'll have all the software available for people who want to take tests at home on their PC. We'll have software that they can obtain from us. It's shareware stuff. And if you need information on joining the club, call Diana. That's N7UZD. Her phone number is 899-9310. She's doing a great job. I think she drug about half the people into the club. My number, if you're interested in the classes to sign up, is 963-3527.
Okay, say the number again.
It's 963-3527. 3527. You were just checking to see if I could do it.
Well, I know. And what is Diane's number? Is that the number you gave?
Yeah, no, that was
mine. I'm sorry. You gave another number.
That was for Diana if you want to join the club.
Right.
She's the membership chairman. Her number is 899-9310.
And did you say that if they come this Thursday evening for the Triarch Club and they want to join, that they get an extra 3-day membership for the same $10?
Extra 3 days?
Yeah, if they mention Ham Radio and More.
Sure, yeah, extra 3 days added in, sure. And a free W-2 handy talkie. Right?
Oh, a free W-2. Well, listen, that's a good handy talkie.
Yeah.
But, okay. So come on down to the Triarch meeting this week. At what time?
7.
And what time does it start? what's the address?
Thursday at 7, and that's at 120 East 5th Street. For those who don't know Tempe real well, there's a lot of those, basically Mill and 5th Street, that's easy to find. Mill goes right through downtown. You go to 5th Street, you go just a little bit east, and you'll see that funny upside-down pyramid on the right. That's City Hall. And on the left is the police building. And it's in the police building. Anybody can tell you where it's at from there.
Okay, so come on down. Now, do you have a special program or anything this Thursday?
This Thursday we're going to be talking a lot about Field Day. We have a lot of people who haven't had their license for more than a year yet. So we're kind of tossing around whether they should go with a different club like Scottsdale, who's done a terrific job in past years in Field Day. Maybe have them go along and see what Field Day is all about. And then those of us who are more into partying or have done it before, we can go into a different group. So, you know, get some talent spread around. We're going to have somebody from the Scottsdale Club bring some film to show us how Field Day is done. It may end up being that Laurel and Hardy film you were talking about earlier.
Well, that was at the DX Club.
Oh, okay.
So, but that, I'll tell you, that was a funny flick.
I can imagine.
And, I mean, they just did it perfectly. And it starts out, you don't think anything about the antenna. It starts out that he can't find his hat, you know. Laurel can't find his hat. Of course, it's on top of his head, but he looked everywhere for it. He can't find it. Now, really, I have one more question with less than 5 minutes left in the show. I mean, really, I want to know what the strategy that the Triarch sponsored tea hunting team is going to use this coming Saturday in their quest to win the tea hunt. Because John Moore is taking notes. NJ7E is out there. He's taking notes right now, jotting them down. He wants to know what strategy he should use so that he can come in second or first. Now, come on. You can let it out. I want to know.
I'm not a member of the tea hunt team.
Inquiring minds need to know. We have to know.
Well, there's Diana and Don. They're the biggies in the tea hunt team. And if you want to be a member of a club who has a winning tea hunt team, Triarch is the one to join.
Wait a minute here. I happen to know that John Moore has won on numerous occasions.
Oh, okay.
And so has people. Mike Zussman's team won, and he's a member of the DX Association. I'm sure somebody from the West Valley Club has been on a tea hunt, and they have won once or twice. So the fact that Triarch, on their second time out, got lucky.
Well, I think what it is you see, we're a new club, and y'all have been in it for a while. Maybe it's retirement time.
What? John, help me. How can you say retirement time? We have geared up our Doppler system to such... it is so meticulously calculated that I hate to drop this news, but John told me just 2 days ago his Doppler died.
Wonderful.
So now we're going to do it on pure instincts this coming Saturday night. Now, make sure everybody that's out there that's never been on a transmitter hunt, it's taking place this Saturday night, 7 p.m., 7th Avenue and Camelback in the Target Shopping Center. 7th Avenue and Camelback at 7 p.m. sharp. If you have a 2-meter beam, you want to try it, go on your own, that's fine. Be there at 7 p.m. But if you want to just take a ride with some of us, usually we have some space in one of the vehicles or a couple of the vehicles, and you're welcome to ride along. You'll never have so much fun as you will at the transmitter hunt. I want to thank Dave Kelly for being my guest today from TriArc, and come on down to the meeting on Thursday, and I think I'll try to make plans to be there and say hello and push the fact that next week we start at 12 noon. Please tell everybody. We start at 12 noon. We go for 2 hours from 12 to 2 p.m. Have your gear ready to buy, sell, and trade. We want to buy, sell, and trade radio gear and computer gear on this show. So call in next week after 1 o'clock. Thanks to my sponsors, Wallpaper World, AA Incorporated, and Ken Nichols. Get your items ready for sale next week. Until next week at noon, please tell others this is Len Winkler, KB7 LPW Clear. Thanks for listening. 73's Arizona.